Lord, what are you doing? Well, how can I join you? I want to make a difference. A fourth way is we make a difference when we listen to Jesus. Look in verse 18, please. The scripture says this. And he said, and they were listening, bring them here to me. What? The five loaves, the two fish. John tells us it was a little boy that was coming. He's just coming along for the ride. He just wanted to hear about Jesus. He wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And he had five loaves and two fish. And they said, hey, can we use this? And the little boy said, if you need it, take it. Now, just for the record, I think this little boy who gave the five loaves and two fish had a greater impact as far as making a difference in people's lives for eternity than everything Herod ever did. But you see, our measuring stick today is different from their measuring stick in that day. King George, in his journal on July the 4th, 1776, entered, nothing significant happened today. We make a difference when we listen to Jesus. Verse 18, Jesus said and they responded. Of course, I like what it says here in John 2, verse 5. Jesus is at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. They're in a very socially embarrassing situation. They've run out of wine. And the scripture says, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. We've got to listen. Of course, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, let me ask you, what is he saying to you today? What is Jesus saying to you right now? You know, sometimes God speaks and we don't listen. I was trying to call to get the weather last Sunday morning. I've got a 12-week-old golden retriever puppy. And I knew that it gets below 25 degrees, I need to have him inside. And so I need to call and find out. And I called the weather line. I got a busy signal 12 times. I thought, you know, Lord, sometimes it's like that's the way you are with me. You're calling and I just send up a busy signal. And that's the problem with a lot of folks in our church. God calls and we have a busy signal. God, I'm too busy. Well, dear friend, we don't make a difference unless we're listening to Jesus. I was out going to Dr. Patterson's home yesterday, and he picked me up, and he had his, treeing walker. I watched him climb a tree. And he let Bandit loose to run. And Bandit was making a circuit out here in the yard. And Dr. Patterson said, come on, Bandit. Come on, Bandit. Let's go, Bandit. Bandit never listened. He just kind of looks back and keeps running some more. He's more interested in the squirrels and the cats. But you know, sometimes we're like that, aren't we? God's speaking, but we're not listening. And verse 18 says, he spoke, but they listened. But that's really not enough. Not simply to listen. Listening to Christ is enough. Sometimes we say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And God tells us, Lord, is there anything else you want me to do? You see, when we listen to Jesus, that's important. But then the next step, number five, is we make a difference when we're available to Jesus. Look at me. Look at verse 18 again. The scripture says, and he said, bring them here to me. I want those five loaves. I want those two fish. And the disciples went and brought them to Jesus. Are you available to the Lord today? Well, I love the call of Isaiah. Isaiah 6. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here am I, send me to New Hampshire. Or to Indonesia. Or to the inner city. That little boy said, Lord, if you need my lunch, I'm available. I want to say this to you, dear friend. What God needs is great availability and not great ability. If you're available to Him, He'll make you able. You see, the secret is not us. The secret's the Lord. He's the one that empowers. He's the one that strengthens. He's the one that equips. He's the one that guides. He's the one that opens the closed doors. He's the one that resurrects the dead church. He's the one that turns the chairman of the deacon from being carnal to spiritual. We make a difference when we're available to Him. Number six. We also make a difference when we pass on what we receive. Look in verse 19. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the five loaves, the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke. You see, Jesus understood his source. And Jesus is working off the energy and the power of heaven. So he says, Father, I want to thank you for what you're getting ready to do. Now, I was thinking about that and praying about it earlier this week, and it just dawned on me, I think Jesus knew ahead of time what he was going to do. I mean, over in John 6, he says, now, Philip, what are we going to do here? This was a learning by doing, learning situation for the disciples. What are we going to do? Lord, we don't have the resources. We can't afford to feed all these people. But you see, Jesus had already got the word from the Father. Remember how he said, I see the Father doing, I say what I hear the Father saying. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And he received the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he began to pray, and God began to multiply it. And then he gave them to the disciples and said, okay, guys, take it and distribute it. And they'd say, okay, here, this group of 50, take loaves and fish over there, come back. Here's some more, take some more, take some more, take some more. And all they're doing is they're delivering what they're passing on what they have received. When we were in the Holy Land a couple of weeks ago, we were going through the line at a kibbutz for lunch, and my girls saw something they thought was fried fish, but it was like chicken tenders. And so my girl said, I like fried fish. We hear it's real good here. And when they gave us the fish, it was a whole fish, eyeballs and everything. And my girl said, Daddy, do we have to eat it? I said, you ordered it, and I paid for it. You're going to have to, how do I eat it, Daddy? Well, just put the napkin over the head, and then you eat the rest of it. I told the girls there, I said, you know something? You know, the little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, I said, that could have been one of those fish right there. That's what they ate. The disciples were given loaves and fish. What they received, they delivered. I met Clay Stevens yesterday. Clay is from Waverly, Tennessee. I used to be the postmaster over there. And I understand he's working with your postal system here. And you know what the post office man has to do? He just has to deliver what he receives. And you know what the ministry has to do? All you have to do is deliver what you receive. What God gives to you, you pass on. When Paul was writing about the Lord's Supper, he said this from 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you." You see, all you have to do in ministry, dear friend, is whatever God gives to you, you pass on. You see, the strength is not your strength. The wisdom's not your wisdom. I mean, we can mess it up, but if all we do is receive it and deliver it, God's glorified in it. We make a difference when we pass on what we receive. And then 7, we make a difference when we expect God to do more than we even imagine. Look in verse 20. The scripture says, "Though they all ate and were filled." Now, do you think the disciples expected that to happen? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, they were calculating, Lord, we don't have enough money to buy the food for these people. Why don't you just send them away and let them go find something in the villages? You see, the disciples were not thinking spiritually. They were thinking carnally. They were thinking like a lot of finance committees think. We can't afford that. They're not asking, God, what do you want us to do? They're asking, what can we afford to do? Big difference. The word says they all ate and they were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Listen, we make a difference when we expect God to do more than we even imagined. Now, this is what Paul said as he was wrapping up. Of course, you know how Paul was. He gets a second wind when he's writing his epistles. In chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 of Ephesians, he said, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." Now let me ask you a question. What are you expecting God to do in your life? What are you expecting God to do through your life? We make a difference in people's lives. We make a difference in this world when we expect God to do more than we even imagined. And that's what's going on right here. I mean, Jesus did more than the disciples ever calculated. Now let me ask you this, hypothetical. If the Lord spoke to you audibly and said, "Okay, Steve, I'll pick on you like me. Steve, I'm going to give you 10 minutes with me. You can ask me anything. You can do anything. You can ask for anything you want, and I'll give it to you as long as it's in my will." You see, if you have a 40-year-old wife and say, "I'd like to trade her in for 220s, God's going to say, "That doesn't work." But if you had the Lord there, and God, you're speaking to the Lord, and God's listening to you, you say, "Lord, this is what I want." Boom. "This is what I want." Boom. And if it's in his will, he'd give it to you. Would you like to have a situation like that? Sure we would. But you know, dear friend, the secret is this. When we pray, he's listening. And he intends to answer every prayer prayed in his will. Listen, there are things that God wants to do, and He's just waiting for us to ask. Ask and you shall receive. That's in the Bible for a reason. Prayer. We make a difference in people's lives when we expect God to do more than we even imagine. You know, I'm really kind of excited to see what's going to happen in New Hampshire for the next 10 years. You know, God just may decide to do something fresh up there. And I want to tell you, there are places and there are churches when we say, you know, God, nothing can happen good there. Remember when Nathaniel heard that Jesus was from Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, as a matter of fact, there is one good thing. But you know, sometimes we put ourselves in a box. We think, well, God, you can never work there. God, nothing will ever happen good there. Well, dear friend, God is simply waiting for us to trust Him. He's waiting for us to expect Him to do something great and glorious. And when we trust Him, and when we depend upon Him, He'll do it. I know that when I went to my last pastor at Wedgwood Baptist Church, Fort Worth, Texas, the history of the church was, number one, it's dead, and number two, they're always fussing and fighting. It was my first shot out of seminary. And guys, I want to tell you, that's probably the most anxious moment of a minister's life, the first shot out of seminary. And I sat in the office of Dr. James Eaves, who is the chairman of our department. And he's the one that recommended me over there. I said, Dr. Eaves, I don't want to go there. It's dead, and they're always fussing and fighting. And he leaned over the desk, and as only he could do. He didn't take his glasses off. He just kind of let them droop down over his nose, kind of looked at me over his glasses. He said, son, remember one thing. He said, if the church is dead, there's only one way for it to go, and that's up. And it went up. I mean, the first Sunday I was there, I had 183 in Sunday school. 4 years later, we were going consistently over 900 in Sunday school. First Sunday, less than 200 in worship. Well, by the time we left, over 1,000 consistently in worship. 4 years. So what happened? God moved in. People begin to pray. They begin to trust God. They begin to obey the Lord. They begin to say, God, what do you want to do? And if God wants to do that, He'd do it. Very simple. We allowed God to make the difference in us. He in turn used us to make a difference in other people's lives. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to make a difference in people's lives? I'm listening for an answer. Do you want to make a difference in people's lives? I'm telling you, God tells us right here how to do it. We make a difference in people's lives when we respond appropriately to circumstances. We make a difference in people's lives when, like Jesus, we're compassionate towards folks. We make a difference in people's lives when we understand that God's ways are higher than our ways. And so He doesn't have to stay in our boxes that we create for Him. We make a difference when we listen to the Lord. We make a difference when we're available to the Lord. We make a difference when we pass on what we receive. And when we make a difference, when we expect God to do more than we even imagined. Last Saturday, I got a phone call from Chicago. I'll close with this. I'm running out of time anyway. It's a little girl that we had the privilege of leading to Christ 3 years ago. Her name's Whitney Williams. Whitney is dying of AIDS. She was enamored by the country music industry, and as a result, in the Make-A-Wish Foundation, they asked her, what would you like? She said, I'd like to meet Reba McEntire. And so they said, we can arrange that. They flew her from Chicago down to Nashville, and she came to Nashville to really kind of hobnob with some of the country music people. And then some of them live in Nashville. And that Sunday, a lady in our church named Cindy Owen invited Whitney to come to church with her. She was kind of the hostess there. And Whitney came to church on a Sunday morning. And I preached just a simple salvation message, and 12-year-old Whitney Williams gave her heart to Christ. We had the privilege of baptizing her 2 weeks later. She came back to Nashville to be baptized. And I've been interacting with Whitney now for 3 years. And she came to my office about a month ago. And she came in, and she was real quiet. And the doctors have told her she's starting to bleed internally, and her time is very limited now. She was 14 then. She just turned 15. And I said, Whitney, and she sat there and just kind of stared off into space. I said, Whitney, what's wrong? And she just didn't say anything. Her lip began to quiver. I said, Whitney, would you tell me what's bothering you? She nodded her head yes. I said, tell me. She said, Brother Jerry, she sounds scared to die. I'll tell you what, any 14-year-old kid is scared to die. That's my daughter's 14 years old. And I talked to her about what death was like. And I said, have you ever been somewhere and you've fallen asleep and you wake up the next morning, you're in your bed, you're home? She said, yeah. I said, I want to tell you something with you. I said, you're going to go to sleep. And your body's going to die on this side. And you're going to wake up in glory. And you're going to see Jesus. And so we just talked about that, what heaven was going to be like. And I prayed with her. And her big goal, I mean, what kind of goal did he have? Her big goal was to live to be 15 years old. Last Saturday was her 15th birthday. And she called me. She said, Brother Jerry, just want you to know one thing. I said, what is it with you? I'm not scared anymore. I'm not scared. I want to tell you something. If you can make a difference in one person's life for eternity, that's better than making any difference on any plane in any realm of endeavor in this world. And I'm here to say to you this morning, you can make a difference by the grace of God.